Hi, and welcome back. In our last talk, we had ended off with a man named Chasda ibn Shaprut, a Jewish politician who's living in the 10th century in Al-Andalus, in Islamic Spain, during what's known as the Golden Age of Spanish Jewry. And this is a man who was really the first that we know of to officially correspond with the Jews of Khazaria. Now, before we go any further, we're going to have to switch and just discover a little bit about who these Khazars were and what we know about them even to the present day. First of all, from the Chasdai letters, where Chasda ibn Shaprut sends a correspondence to the king of the Khazars, and during the 10th century his name was King Yosef or King Joseph, we learned a tremendous amount about who the Khazars were just from those letters themselves. First of all, we know that they were a Turkic people who settled in the steppes north of the Caucasus mountain ranges between the Black Sea and the Caspian Sea. Those of you who are a little bit familiar with geography of this particular area of Eastern Europe and Asia will realize that this is an area that is what is now southwestern Russia, bordering on the Russian border and Georgia, Armenia, and Azerbaijan. This was a very large empire, and it extended at different points, sometimes all the way as far north as Kiev in Ukraine today. They were originally a paganistic-run society. They had shrines and they had idols that were run by shamans, and they had amulets. This was the kind of life that they were living. Their form of government was quite curious. It was a bifurcated form of government where there was a supreme ruler known as the Khagan, and there was a military king known as the Bek. But by the 10th century, by Chasda ibn Shaprut's time, it appears that these two offices had become consolidated. Those of you who are interested in a history of the Khazars, there are a number of very, very good books that you can get about Khazar history. We're just going to give a very brief overview. In world history, they're really not that well known because the Khazars pretty much kept to themselves. However, they did provide a number of significant contributions to the stage of world history. And one of those important contributions is that they were responsible for holding back an invasion by Arabs from the south and preventing them from invading Eastern Europe, in much the same way that the much more famous episode of the army of Charles Martel was able to defeat Muslim forces from taking over Europe in the year 732. Now, what are the Khazars, the very curious people, what do they have to do with Judaism or anything that we're discussing now in the talk about the Khuzari? Well, it seems that the Khazars had some kind of Jewish identity, which was why Reb Chasda ibn Shaprut, all the way in Spain, was interested in them in the first place. He had heard about the Jewish identity of the Khazars, and he set out to try and make contact with them. The legend thus begins about the Judaism of the Khazars in the 10th century with the publication of these Chasdai letters. In it, King Joseph of the 10th century sends back a correspondence to Chasda ibn Shaprut and tells him all about the Khazars. He tells a story, a very fascinating story, about the Khazar king who had founded Khazar Judaism sometime before the 10th century when this letter was sent. And there's a lot of speculation exactly when the official conversion of the first Jewish Khazar king took place. Some people put it in the 7th century, some people put it as late as the 9th century. So it's a lot of discrepancy here. Now, the name of the king who first converted to Judaism is identified as a man named King Bulan. And the correspondence from King Joseph as to how his forebear converted to Judaism is recorded in the Chasdai letters. We have translated a copy of the Chasdai letters, and I'm just going to read you a little snippet about from that text momentarily. In the course of relating the history of the Khazar people to Chasda ibn Shaprut, King Joseph states as follows, and I'm quoting, "Many generations passed, and then a king arose by the name of Bulan. He was a wise and God-fearing man. He had trust in his creator, and he abolished the diviners and idolaters from our land. At the same time, he sought refuge under the shadow of God's wings. An angel appeared to him and said, 'Bulan, God has sent me to you with this message. My son, I have heard your supplication. I therefore bless you, make you fruitful, and cause you to multiply to a very great degree. I will establish your kingdom until 1,000 generations, and I will deliver all your enemies into your hand. Now rise in the morning and pray to God.' And so he did." And the correspondence continues that at this point, Bulan had converted together with a number of high-ranking officials together with him to some form of monotheism, but it's not really described as Judaism, but a way of worshiping God and showing homage to the God of the Jewish Bible. Sometime later, the kingdom of the Khazars became famous on the world stage because the Khazars became known as very mighty warriors who were successful in holding at bay many of their detractors and those who sought to invade them. And as a result, the Khazars attracted attention to themselves as people who were worthy of converting to either Islam or Christianity from the dominant faith-run empires that were surrounding them from all directions. And here again, I'm going to read a portion from the Khazdai letters. Afterwards, the king's reputation spread throughout the world. The kings of Persia and Yishmael, which are the terms for Christianity and Islam, heard of him, and they sent their messengers and emissaries with large sums of money and many impressive gifts, together with their wise men, to the king, in order to persuade him to convert to their religion. But the king was wise. May his soul be bound with the bond of life, the Lord is God. He commanded his officials to bring him a wise Jewish man. He diligently searched, investigated, and inquired, and he placed them together so that they could debate one another's religion. Each one dismantled the other's arguments, and they were thus unable to arrive at any consensus. When the king saw this, he said to them, "Go back to your tents, and in 3 days you may return." And so they all went back to their tents. The next day the king sent for the wise Persian and said to him, "I know that the king of Persia is greater than these other kings, and that his religion, which is the religion of Christianity, is quite respected. I therefore desire your religion, but I ask that you tell me the truth. Which is better, the religion of Israel or the religion of Ishmael?" The wise man responded, "May our master the king live forever. If you're asking about the esteem of a religion, there is no religion in the world like the Jewish religion. For the Holy One, blessed is He, chose Israel from all the nations and called them my son, my firstborn. He performed great miracles and wonders for them." And I'm going to paraphrase at this point because the Persian cleric, the Christian cleric, goes on and on about the stories of the Bible. And then he says, "What comparison is there between Islam and Judaism? Muslims have neither Sabbath nor festivals, no commandments and no statutes, and they eat all type of impurities, such as camel meat, horse meat, and dog meat, as well as all types of creeping creatures." The king replied, "You have spoken honestly. I will therefore have mercy upon you, and will send you back with honor to the king of Persia." The next day, the king called for the Ishmaelite Qadi, which is the term for an Islamic judge. He said to him, "I have one question to ask you. Tell me the truth and do not conceal anything from me. The Christian and the Jewish religions, which one is better in your eyes?" The Qadi answered him, "The Jewish religion is a true religion. The Jews possess God's Torah and righteous commandments and statutes. When they sinned, the Holy One, blessed is He, became angry with them and delivered them into the hands of their enemies. Nevertheless, redemption and salvation will be theirs. Christianity is not even a religion. They eat pig and all kinds of impure things. They bow down to idols, and there is no hope for their future." The king responded and said, "You have spoken honestly. I will therefore have mercy upon you." Now on the third day, the king called them all together and said to them in the presence of all his officers, servants, and countrymen, "I request that you select for me the best and most upright of all religions." They began to speak, but were unable to arrive at any resolution. Finally, the king turned to the Persian wise man and said, "What do you say between Judaism and Islam? Which one is more honorable?" The wise man said, "Judaism is more honorable than Islam." The king then asked the Qadi, "What do you say between Christianity and Judaism? Which one is more honorable?" The Qadi answered, "Well, Judaism is more honorable." The king then responded, "If so, then you have admitted with your own mouths that Judaism is honorable. I have thus chosen Judaism, the religion of Avraham. If God will come to my aid, then he will provide me with all the money, silver, and gold that you had offered to give me without the pains of converting to your faith. As for you, return in peace to your lands." So this is the story of the conversion of the Khazars as recorded in the Khazdai letters. And by Rabbi Yehuda Halevi's lifetime, some 2 centuries or a century and a half later, the story of the Khazars and their conversion to Judaism was quite well known. It was folklore by this time, and that is why Rabbi Yehuda Halevi chose to use it as the historical background for his philosophical treatise, the Kuzari, and I want to come back to this later. My question only is at this point, and with this we'll conclude, is the story of this mass conversion correct? Is it true? Did it really happen? Well, first of all, we have no reason to doubt the veracity of the story at face value. However, in his book, The 13th Tribe, by Arthur Koestler, which was published in the 1970s, the author argues that the conversion of the Khazars to Judaism was really not based on religious inspiration, but was rather more out of political expediency than anything else. Because consider a nation at this time which defines its empire in terms of religious identity. Every empire, whether you're talking about the Byzantine Empire, the Holy Roman Empire, the Persian Empire, the Islamic Empire, they're all defined in terms of what religion is the national faith for all of the different city-states and vassals that are under their control. The Byzantine and Roman empires to the west and to the north are Christian. The empires to the south and to the east are Muslim. How does one retain one's national identity and avoid getting swallowed up by the larger empire? You do this by establishing a national religion that is at once modern and at the same time distinct from all the other nations and religions that surround us. So if both Christianity and Islam are already taken, let's take the next monotheistic faith that presents itself as being modern and acceptable to modern man. So Judaism is the only one that's left. And so Koestler suggests that that's why the Khazars chose Judaism, in order to create a religious national identity that would make them distinct and separate from the other two great empires of the time. One thing we do know, regardless of whether the story of the conversion happened as described in the Chasdai letters or not, there is certainly archaeological evidence that demonstrates that there was a very, very significant Jewish presence in ancient Khazaria. Furthermore, the story that is contained within the Chasdai letters would eventually form the basis for the 12th century work, the Kuzari, as we will explain later.